Welcome to Voices for Life on KERI 1410 AM, a production of Right to Life of Kern County. And now, here's your host, Marilee Schreider.
Good morning, friends. Thank you for joining us on Voices for Life. We have a great program for you today because we have with us our great friend, Pastor Philip Lee of His Way Out Ministries. That's a ministry, for those of you who don't know, it's a ministry that comes alongside those struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction. But before we get to Pastor Lee and why he's with us today, I have a couple quick but important announcements. So please get your calendars out, and because you don't want to miss these two important events, especially this month when we host our third annual Remembering Roe Memorial Cross Display in recognition of the January 22nd anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court Roe v. Wade ruling that legalized abortion in the United States. Now, every year we ask a local church in a high-profile location to host our 2,500 cross display, which represents the 2,500 unborn children lost to abortion each day in America. And this year, that display will be hosted at the Valley Baptist Church Olive Drive campus from Saturday, January 16th through Saturday, January 23rd. And if you would like to help us in putting that up, that display, you may join us on the 16th at 9 a.m. To give us a hand, and we'll put you to work. Also, mark your calendars for Friday, February 19th. That is the first Friday of Lent, and that is our Fish Fry for Life. This will be our 12th year for the Fish Fry, which will be held once again at St. Francis of Assisi Church from 4 to 8 p.m. We were going to cancel it because of COVID, but we were persuaded by the Fred Allison who caters the event and by St. Francis, no, let's go on with it, because when we keep with traditions, it gives people hope and encourages them. So we're going to go ahead and do it. The only difference this year is that there will be no inside seating, but takeout only. And as you know, those of you who have been joining us every year, you know, we generally have a takeout line, but this year we're going to have two drive-thrus, so we'll get you through. Tickets are still $17 each and go on sale January 25th, and you can visit our website at rtlkc.org to buy tickets or for more info. Okay, now to the good stuff. Okay. Welcome, Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, Marilee. Pleasure to be here.
Well, we're so happy to have you here. And just before Christmas, you and I talked about doing the program together.
Yes.
And we decided that we will start on Voices for Life today and end our time together on your half hour with His Way Out Ministries.
Right.
Which directly follows this program. So I think our listeners might be asking, well, what does a ministry that focuses on same-sex attraction have to do with the right to life? And so our respective ministries are different, that's true. But what is it about them that you see as maybe similar, the similarities?
We are both nonprofits.
Right.
We are both Christian organizations that really endeavors and seeks to come alongside of the church. And when I refer to the church, I'm referring to all denominations.
Right.
To come alongside and partner with them, reaching to the wounded, hurting, and the broken, with a very specific slice of ministry, if you will, because the ministry focus of Right to Life and His Way Out Ministries is very specific.
Right.
So in that regard, again, we are reaching to wounded humanity, bringing the gospel to them with the words of Christ to offer hope in their areas of brokenness and to see that they will come to a place of healing and transformation and wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the similarities. There are certainly others, but I think those are the primary ones for both of us.
I think so too. And I think you couldn't have said it better when you said wounded humanity. I think that defines many of the people that we see every day in our ministry. So no, that's perfectly said. I also see that we're both of our ministries involve highly controversial cultural issues.
Yes.
At times, and probably the most compelling issues of our time.
Yes.
The two most, right.
Abortion and homosexuality today, those two issues alone are very, very compelling, and they are widespread. And certainly, not only just in the world, but throughout the church, many individuals are really trying to come to terms with, they're grappling with, how do I respond? How do I represent Christ in these issues, which a lot of individuals and families Christian and non-Christian alike are being impacted, and they're wondering, how do I represent Christ? How do I respond to this? So again, that's the focus of our ministries, is to equip, educate, and encourage so that we can represent Christ in a very, very positive manner.
Absolutely. And often when you're not prepared to do that, when you don't know how to respond, you don't respond at all.
Right.
And there's this big silent empty void, and it's just staring us right in the
face.
And
that's a primary concern that I've had personally for many, many years, because silence often implies consent.
Yes.
And that's dangerous.
It does.
We do have answers to this. We have biblical sound answers to both of our areas of ministry. Again, it just takes our stepping to the forefront and be willing to be used of the Holy Spirit to address these cultural issues of our time.
Absolutely. And you know what, Phil, there you have said that this is one really sad correlation between our two ministries, I think. But you have said a number of times that too many men and women have been told that God holds homosexuals in special contempt, that he has a special contempt for that particular sin. And I think that's similar to what too many men and women hear regarding abortion, that abortion is the unforgivable sin.
Yes, and clearly, I mean, to say that homosexual practice is like worse than something else. Now, I mean, when we venture into sexual sin, yes, the consequences that can come our way can be very different if we tell a lie or we steal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. That's undeniable. But to say that homosexuality is far worse than many others, even read the book of Romans, that's a contradiction. It is not. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where there's a list, a catalog of various behaviors that God clearly defines that are not acceptable to him. And homosexuality is mentioned in that list,
mm-hmm.
but it's mentioned in the middle of the list. Now, what does that tell us? In God's eyes, it's just another sin.
Right.
Man today still is elevating the sin of homosexual practice to a level that God has not. We need to be very, very careful with that.
Yes, we do.
Very
yes,
careful.
We do. Okay. Now, let's just take a little turn here, because a lot of people who are listening to Voices for Life, you know, are getting a message that they maybe didn't expect today, and they may not be familiar with His Way Out Ministries. So His Way Out Ministries has been a ministry in Bakersfield for more than two decades. How long?
Since 1994.
Okay, since 1994. And will you please share in a nutshell what I think is a fascinating story about how you came to know Christ, about how the ministry came to be?
You want the paraphrased edition?
Just paraphrase.
Wait, this is a 30-minute program,
I
right?
know. Because that story could take the whole time, but no, yeah.
Well, the whole subject matter of same-sex attraction for me is both personal and professional.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 13, I became acutely aware of my own issue of same-sex attraction. That happened right here in Bakersfield many, many years ago. I'm 70 years old now, so hopefully you can appreciate that at the age of 13, many years ago, this whole subject matter wasn't even being discussed then as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So 13 years old, I'm at Compton Junior High School here in Bakersfield, and again, I became aware of my own issue of same-sex attraction. I did like so many, many others. I tried my best to stuff it, to hide it, because God forbid anyone would pick up on what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to the age of 18, and I made the deliberate conscious choice to embrace what many refer to as a gay identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I remained for the next 17 years. From the age of 18 to 35, I was very much a member of the gay communities of Los Angeles, New York City, and San Francisco. And I was by no means a gay activist, but I would have defended what I was doing at that time in my life. But after 17 years living as a gay-identified man, and having exhausted everything that gay seemingly promised but never, ever delivered,
mm-hmm.
and through the powerful witness of my family, my mom, my stepdad, and my younger brother had turned their lives to Christ, and I began to notice a huge, dramatic change in their lives. And everything I had changed, everything this world had to offer that I had and more, and had exhausted, they had found something. More importantly, more specifically, they had found someone.
Mm-hmm.
I took note. So on the evening of October 5th, 1985, I'm sitting on the edge of my bed in my apartment. I'm now here in Bakersfield again after living many years in San Francisco. I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, and I look around all the art on the wall and the cars and the clothes and the money and all the stuff. I'm also taking stock of the awareness that I have now become isolated from family and friends, because the gay identity for me, and this isn't true of all gay-identified men and women, but it's true in my case, it just consumed my entire life. Everything I did revolved around gay. You would think there would be enough to tell a person, there's a bit more to life here, Philip. Come on, wake up, smell the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And out of my mouth that evening came these words: Jesus, if you're really real, I need you to come, and I need you to come now. That was 35 years ago plus. Mm-hmm. I have not yet, even to this day, have told the full story of what transpired that evening, but I knew this. When I rose to my feet at that simple prayer, I knew my life would never, ever be the same again. Immediately, all involvement in homosexuality stopped. All drinking stopped. All drug intake stopped. It took a while to finally get victory with those doggone cigarettes. I don't know what the deal was with that, but it took a while.
They were a little more socially acceptable, I think.
And that was just some of the outward things we had to deal with.
Right.
But thank God for a church and a pastoral staff that came alongside of me and loved me through the process, mentored me and discipled me. I am the true recipient of discipleship. Had it not been for these wonderful godly pastors that came alongside of me and poured their lives into mine, I don't know that you and I would be sitting here right now having this conversation. So once again, 35 years ago, I called to Jesus. He heard me. Life has never been the same. And thank God for his mercy. Is change possible? Yes, not because Philip Lee says so, but God says so clearly in his word. Change, I know today, for gay identified individuals is greatly being challenged, but we've got to take it back to the authority and the truth of Scripture. God says change is possible. God, when he speaks on a subject matter, God has the final word, and he says it's possible. And I have seen that true in my own life and a multitude of others around the world, an abundance of men and women. I don't know of an individual that's resolved their brokenness of same-sex attraction and moved on in life, whether to marry and have children. Some have elected to remain single. I don't know that that's transpired in the life of any man or woman apart from a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Christ Jesus. Because at the core of the brokenness of whatever habit, addiction, or compulsive behavior, we're talking about a spiritual problem. And a spiritual problem requires a spiritual solution, and his name is still Jesus.
Praise the Lord for that. And it also includes a complete surrender. That was part of your complete surrender to Jesus, right? You didn't.
And that may be the greatest crisis in all of our lives, is a surrendering of our will.
Right.
Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, dying to self is not easy. And it's often very, very messy, but it's necessary. Absolutely necessary.
Absolutely.
So thank God for his mercy.
Thank God. I think we can end the program right now. I think we're good. I think the message is out there. We'll just move along. Okay, I'm just kidding. I've heard that story many, many times, and it still moves me a great deal, and it just thank God for that immediate change in your life.
You know, too, a moment ago, at the beginning of the program, you mentioned the sanctity of life.
Yes.
Those words always grip me,
mm-hmm.
because as Christians, we celebrate all life. All life is precious. And because of my background, the lifestyle that I led, everyone that I used to run with, Marilee, they are all gone.
Yes.
I'm the only one left. Mm-hmm. Why has God been so specific in his word in telling us the holy boundary lines to live within? Is it not because he's trying to protect us from unseen danger?
Mm-hmm. And you're still here, and now he uses you daily in this ministry, which is worldwide.
It has become so, yes.
It's been
quite remarkable.
Well, we're going to talk about that, but one of the questions you and I have discussed most often, I think, is one that bears repeating. You have said that you are convinced that the church is the last bastion of hope for the wounded, hurting, and broken. And the question that you'll probably ask me the next half hour, is the church availing itself to be equipped and ready to share the truth about same-sex attraction to the world that really, really needs it?
And my reply is yes and no.
Okay. I thought it might be.
I mean, with church, of course, we're talking about people, so there's always going to be room for improvement.
Right.
But the church, I believe, could be doing a far greater, much, much better job than it has.
And you've become pretty bold in the last year or so in saying that, right?
Yes, because again, I still believe that the church is God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to be educated. We've got to be equipped. Just to look at a gay-identified man or woman and say, it's wrong!
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, folks, not good enough. And there's so much information, there's a wealth of information available to become educated and equipped on this, to be more effective in ministry, to help those with unwanted same-sex attraction. Mm-hmm. Now, there are men and women today, they're fine with being gay, and that is their choice. Mm-hmm. But for those that have come to the church and are going to be coming into the church, for love, encouragement, and support, we need to be far better equipped than we are.
And Philip, would you... I mean, I know it's you'd be better equipped to gauge this than anybody else I know, but are there a lot of people struggling with same-sex attraction who might be saying, you know, I don't want to be attracted to a man or a woman. I want up to, you know, if you're a man, I want to fall in love with a woman and have kids.
You know, I would submit today in churches around the world, again, regardless of denomination, if the congregation has at least a membership of 50 people,
yes,
there's at least one or two individuals struggling, often suffering in silence, mm-hmm. terrified someone's going to pick up on the fact that they have same-sex attraction. They're sitting in our churches, and they're not getting, again, the discipleship, really, that they need. And it takes some very, very specific discipleship. We are sexual beings. That's how God created us. Our sexuality is a wonderful gift from God, providing sexual expression stays within his well-defined holy boundary lines.
Right.
Our sexuality is not evil. It's a great gift if we do it God's way.
Right, right. Now, you and I have spent the first hour of many Mondays, because you were until recently we shared the same building.
Most listeners probably are not aware that for a very, very, very long time, the ministry office of His Way Out and Right to Life, we were just down the hall from one another.
Right.
So we started off a lot of mornings bringing one another up to speed on what was going on.
Well, I think I just burst in your office and go, oh, Philip. So one of the things we talked about is the hesitancy of many pastors to preach on difficult subjects like abortion and same-sex attraction, but that hasn't always been the case. That was our observation. It's something that pastors seemingly used to do rather routinely. So can you share with us when you began to see a shift? Because you've been at your ministry a lot longer than I've been at mine, and so can you share with us when you've seen that shift and what precipitated it?
Yes. Well, again, this has been my full-time area of ministry for 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when His Way Out first began, of course, it was a very different world, a very different church when it came to the whole subject matter of same-sex attraction.
Right.
Again, going back to 1994, there was an abundance of Christian leadership in our immediate community that was frequently, if not constantly, encouraging me, Philip, please share your testimony. Tell what Christ has done in your life. And initially, I said, no way, no how. I don't want to touch it. I wanted to move on.
Oh.
But the Holy Spirit has his way of bringing us around for God's purposes. So that was 1994. And then fast forward a number of years, and really, really where I saw the most dramatic, significant, if not almost overnight change was about 5.5 years ago when America legalized same-sex marriage throughout this nation.
Yeah.
The dramatic, huge change was instantaneous and overnight. It was as though even many in ministry, Christian ministry, are now saying, well, okay, now they can get married, it's legal. Maybe it's not so bad after all. And I'm going, hold it. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
When did God's word change on this?
Yeah.
We got to be very, very careful. There's a lot of individuals today, they're exclaiming they now have a new enlightened understanding.
Or they've evolved.
They've evolved.
They've evolved. Very popular, yeah.
Well, again, my question is, when did the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ change on the subject matter?
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't changed. It's not going to. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm-hmm.
We may have changed. God's word has not. So really, I would point to when we legalized same-sex marriage, the change was profound. And again, it was as though many people took a step and go, well, it's legal now, so okay, let's just take it out for a roll and spin and see how it goes.
Oh, goodness, right. Yes, I agree with that.
And really, for lack of a better expression, when we legalized same-sex marriage, the lid off Pandora's box came flying off completely. And many other groups that have been standing on the sidelines waiting their turn,
mm-hmm.
now they're stepping to the forefront and saying, wait a minute, why does this group, how come they get a special pass? What about us? We're born that way.
Right.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are today.
Here we are today. Did we not just see, I just saw a couple weeks ago, a throuple, three men had now been legally married.
Yes.
I believe that's what the article was. And you said something that I hope I can say that was very startling to me, but you said, mark my words, it's going to go to LGBTQP.
P.
Remember when you said that? And I went, for pedophilia, because they're finding a voice, and that particular demographic is finding a voice. And so, yeah, and I think you can take it all the way back to 2008. Not only was gay marriage legalized, it suddenly was embraced.
Right.
And, yeah.
So, I would submit that the possibility of other groups being recognized and made legal, we cannot dismiss the possibility. I mean, a lot of what is going on and transpiring today, 5, 10 years ago, we would have said, no way, no how.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's happened.
Right.
It's a fast-changing world, and not necessarily for the better.
Right. It's getting a little scary out there. Now, in our discussions with, I've had many questions for you regarding same-sex attraction and how Christians are to respond to gay relationships. And every time your response is always unerringly based on the authority of Scripture. You don't cite any secular authorities, no conversion therapy, experts, Scripture alone. Now, I know the answer to this, but I want you, why is that? Sure.
Well, His Way Out Ministries being a Christian ministry, we take our mandate and our calling from Jesus himself when he said, go make disciples.
Right.
We make disciples, again, in a very specific area of life. We have never, at His Way Out Ministries, we have never utilized conversion therapy, reparative therapy, because those are clinical approaches.
Okay.
A Christian ministry, we make disciples. The Bible is our authority. It's our roadmap for life. So everything that we've ever done, everything we offer from the beginning even up to date in terms of His Way Out Ministries is all biblically based. So again, the clinical approach we've never, ever used.
Mm-hmm.
We're a Christian ministry.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we have all the answers, but as a Christian ministry, we will go with you to the one who does.
Yeah.
I don't change anyone. That's God's business. I don't save anyone. That's God's business.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a command and a calling to share him. I don't know where we get this idea that witnessing for Christ is somehow, you got to have a special gift. Gift? Nope. It's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an optional extra.
Yeah.
And the Bible says very, very clearly in the Gospel of Luke, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. In my case, what Christ has done in my life, I can't hold that in.
No,
that just comes out. And for me not to share what Christ has done in my life would be the equivalent of denying him. Ain't going to happen. Not going to happen.
No.
So we have the responsibility and a wonderful privilege. And I would submit to God's counting on us. He's really, really counting on us. We say all the time, well, with God, all things are possible, rightly so. God can do everything. Well, you know what? He needs you and me to get his message out there.
Mm-hmm. He uses us all the time to meet his ends. Absolutely.
How people receive us, what they do with what we share with them, we can't control.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the responsibility, the command and calling to go and share. When we share, we have fulfilled the command and calling on our lives.
Well, speaking of that, you mentioned the Great Commission, where Jesus calls on his followers to make disciples and baptize all nations. And by the way, I have to give a plug for your radio program, which now, as of how many weeks ago, went international?
Last September.
Has it been since September? And
yes.
I won't ask you to list the countries because I'll get jealous, but... how many countries is your program, His Way Out Ministries program, now being broadcast in?
We are on every Friday through Worldwide Christian Radio, and we are now going into 60 countries around the world.
60 countries around the world.
Every Friday, yes.
So next half hour, the things I say are going to be broadcast around the world?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll try not to let it go to my
head.
With
a big 8x10 glossy, if we can work that out also.
Well, and I'm excited for you on that, Philip. We really are. And so, again, Jesus calls his followers to make disciples and baptize nations. And that requires the church to speak clearly on the nature of, as you said, humanity, God, and life. Remove any of these three elements, the truth about humanity, God, or life, and you have an adequate, incomplete gospel.
Yes, yes.
And so what does Scripture say about the nature of, in your case, humanity in particular, and what has the lack of biblical clarity on this issue in too many churches caused us as a Judeo-Christian culture?
Well, once again, I believe that the totality of Scripture is abundantly clear. in the holy boundary lines that God has well defined for us to live within. I said a moment ago, we're sexual beings.
Yes.
That is true. Our sexuality, again, is a good gift from God. And all of us, there aren't any Christian men and women that don't have areas of struggle in their lives.
Right.
And
each
again,
one of us.
With our sexuality being such a potent part of who we are, can you think of a better area of the enemy of our soul to attack?
No.
Now, we get so fixed sometimes on the brokenness of same-sex attraction. Let's not dismiss the very long, long list of heterosexual sexual sins.
Right.
Like sex before marriage, mm-hmm. habitual adultery, addiction to pornography, etc., etc. But for some reason, within the church, we've been very, very reluctant to talk about these issues. Issues that our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are struggling with.
Well, some are not just struggling with it. And the issue particularly of living together before marriage, a lot of young Christian people go, what? There's something wrong with that? Because they're not hearing it. So, yeah.
Exactly. And we've been very, very reluctant to share biblical truths in that regard on these particular subject matters. And I really would submit that that has left a lot of individuals. I'm particularly concerned about youth, because what I hear from youth, the one question I hear more than any from youth is there are so many mixed messages today.
Yes. Yes.
On the subject matter of sexuality, mm-hmm. and homosexuality. Where do I find truth? Well, the only absolute truth I know is contained within God's word. Why not share it? Let's share it with everyone from pulpits, because they deserve to hear the truth. Now, again, they have the responsibility of how it's going to be applied, but we have the responsibility of preaching the full counsel of God.
Amen. And we're gonna have to end that right there, Philip. I think we've run out of time. So, friends, just if you want to know more about His Way Out Ministries, you can find Philip Lee on Facebook or visit the ministry website at hiswayout.com. Now, if you hang with us for a few minutes, go get something to a beverage or something, come back to the radio, because our discussion will continue on His Way Out Ministries, where I will be Philip's very special guest.
The roles get reversed.
The roles are going to be reversed, right. So thank you for joining us today. Pastor Philip, would you end our time with a word of prayer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray for Right to Life Kern County. I pray, Father, that every need will be met for this glorious ministry according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I ask for your favor, Lord, that you would enable, you would open doors for them to go into churches of all denominations, Lord, and share you, that there is a way out of any form of brokenness, and Father, that you have a better, better way. I ask for your anointing upon Mary Lee and all those affiliated with Right to Life Kern County, and God, again, that you would grant them greater opportunity, broaden their borders, Lord, to represent who you are. And I pray and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Philip, for being with us today. Friends, join us again next Saturday or in a few minutes. Thank you. God bless.
Thanks for listening in today. Please join us next Saturday at 7 a.m. for another Voices for Life broadcast as we continue to proclaim the sanctity of innocent human life and advocate for the most vulnerable among us. Find Right to Life of Kern County on Facebook or on our website at rtlkc.org.